हरिः ओ
After changing bodies, the living entity forgets his past deeds, but the supersoul is the knower of the past, present, and future, remains the witness of all his activities. Now, even though you don't remember, the Lord is seeing and he remembers. Therefore, all the activities of living entities are directed by this supersoul. The living entity gets what he deserves and is carried by the material body, which is created in the material energy under the direction of the supersoul. Right? So according to what he does, that's the response he gets. So it's everyone gets exactly what they deserve because Krishna remembers it all. We'll forget. You know, we do something and then forget about that because we're working basically in the present, you know, of what experiences we're gaining now, what are our desires and everything now, so we don't worry about the past. But still, the point is we perform the activity, the reaction is there because it's all about justice, right? It means, if we're looking at material energy as the main point, right, why look at the material energy? What is the material energy, you know, what does the material energy provide?
Facility.
It provides a facility, right, which is in the form of technically the?
Result.
The result, no, but that'll be after, but what are we using?
The field.
The field, yeah. And what exactly is that for us? What is the field?
Body.
The body, okay, and the body houses the?
Senses,
right? That's what we interact with, right? So the point is that the senses and their interaction to gain is artha, right? And to enjoy is kama, right? Or anamoy and pranamoy, right? So the point is we're endeavoring to get a result that we can enjoy, right? So since it's on the platform of artha, justice is important. We can't say, I'll take the art, I'll take the economic part, but leave the justice part. No, they go together.
Yeah.
Right? So ethics, justice, and economics, they're one package. Right? So because of that, therefore, you've done the activity, you get the result. Right? It's because that's why you did it. Does that make sense? But on the transcendental platform, you're doing it to please Krishna. Right, so the artha is not for you, the kama is not for you. Therefore, then we're not looking at justice on the material platform. Let's say the devotee's done things in the past. It's not actually important that particular reaction by justice comes. It may or may not. The point is, and that element of justice, why is it there? I get a reaction. What is the reaction actually for?
Purification,
but more than purification. Because purification just means you bring from the negative to the neutral. But what creates the positive?
Devotional service.
Devotional service, I mean, that's the transcendental. But I'm saying just in the mechanics of this.
The right behavior.
The right behavior, and that comes by?
Practice.
Practice based on?
Rules.
Rules that are coming from?
God.
God and what's in between God and the rules.
Knowledge.
What does he get? Knowledge, right? So God gives us knowledge. That knowledge, then we contemplate that, we apply that, right? So to do an activity means you have to have knowledge and the endeavor, right? So the knowledge and the skill. Right? So means knowledge of the greater field and then knowledge of the specific application. Right? Because there's a sidewalk, there's a bicycle, you know, there's a cafe. So in that field, you could ride the bicycle, you could sit in the cafe, you could walk. Right? So, but they're three different skills. You know what I'm saying? So if you don't know them, it doesn't work. Does that make sense? Right? So that knowledge is that skill. So therefore, the knowledge is important to gain from the purification. If you don't gain the knowledge and understanding, what was the use of the purification? That if one was punished for a wrongdoing, but one doesn't learn from it, nobody considers that proper. It's supposed to be something happens, you're supposed to learn from it. Right? Does that make sense?
Is it that the knowledge is inherent to the purification?
Means it is, but whether we notice it or not, just like God's inherently in everything, but whether we notice or not, that's another thing. So it's a matter of consciousness, right? So, you know, the more improved soul will have more of an understanding or get more benefit out of any situation than an unimproved.
And they will therefore usually get less gross reactions?
Less gross reactions because they're more careful about how they deal with the material energy. Right? In other words, they're looking at a bigger part of the field. But because they're not including Krishna, they'll still get a material reaction. And something's not going to be good because every action is covered by fault. But the fault they're getting is on a minor scale, so we'll call them pious. Right? And someone who's getting grosser, they're impious because they're not taking into consideration at all. So as far as their extent of their consciousness, they're applying that, then that's called pious. You know, they're following, you know. And to that extent, so if they're a simple person, they follow simply. But they're considered pious, just like the very sophisticated person. He's following so many elements, but he's technically just as pious. You know what I'm saying? The man has 100 rupees, he gives 100 rupees, he's given 100%. The man has 5 rupees, he gives 5 rupees, he's given 100%. They're both equal as far as their charity goes. Right? Just what results you get in the future back. But as far as character goes, it's equal. Right? Volume of external results, that's a difference. You know, that's just normal. You know, I buy 10 coconuts and sell them. I get, you know, a profit. I buy 100 coconuts at the same price and sell them at the same price. I you know, the principle of profit's the same, but I'm just getting 10 times the amount because the investment was 10 times more. You know what I'm saying? But technically, as far as skill in business, they're the same. You give this guy only has 10 coconuts, 100 coconuts, he'll make the same profit. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So it's not the volume, it's the character. So that's where the ethics comes in. Right? So now, the devotee, let's say they have understood what's wrong about the material endeavor. So they've already learned the lesson. So is there technically, on the way of learning, is there a need of a reaction? No. So if they've learned the lesson, there's technically no need of a reaction. Right? But if they haven't learned the lesson, the reaction is necessary. Right? But it's controlled by Krishna. It's not being taken care of just by Maya, just by you did this, therefore you get that. That's why the devotee is liberated. So it's not karma. But because karma is to purify you and give you the, you know, understanding by which you're supposed to take up devotional service. If you're already taking up devotional service, the action and reaction is the same. Right? Just if you've learned, no need for the reaction. If you have, to that degree you've learned, that degree there's no need of the reaction. To that degree you haven't learned, then there's the necessity of the reaction.
Is that the point of Parikshit Maharaj when he says that without Krishna consciousness, all these purificatory processes, they're
basically useless. Because you're purified, and you have some material knowledge that's bad, but the point is technically why it's bad, you don't really know. All we know, Shastra says, and now being situated, like, let's say, in goodness, it feels right. Right? So the Veda says, the great personalities say, you know, our local authorities say, and I feel it's right. So it's Vedic. It's based on Shastra. But why is it like that? Unless you understand it's God has produced it like that, then you won't be stable. You know what I'm saying? Because if tomorrow something changes and I feel good doing something that's not right, then I can get distracted. Does that make sense?
Then there's Prarabdha Karma. Even though you learned your lesson, there are still some reactions.
No, those are from the past, because if you get rid of Prarabdha Karma, what will you work with?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It means it's just like the body's Prarabdha Karma. So if all karma disappears, then we just poof, you know. The guy, you know, so just surrender to Krishna. And then you know, when you get the poof sound, then you know, it was successfully surrendered. And then there's this little soul floating around there, right? The problem is if you've surrendered, how would you talk to them? Because you wouldn't have a body to talk with. Yeah. So you'd just be a soul floating around. So how would you get their attention?
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, generally it doesn't work. I mean, it means maybe elephants have that good a hearing, so they can tell somebody really, really small is yelling and screaming, but mostly other than that, no one else, they just kind of like step on everybody, right?
Yeah.
No? Yes?
This whole topic of karma is very confusing sometimes, because like we're talking about how we're going to get karma and to learn a lesson.
Right.
But a lot of times we're getting karma and we don't really know what the lesson is. I mean, everything happens because of karma. So even if you like stub your toe, that's karma.
Yeah, but then you work back from there, right? It's called reverse technology.
Well,
it means you stubbed your toe. Why would you stub your toe?
Well, you must have done something.
No, but point is what why would you, I mean, just mechanically, why would you stub your toe? You're unconscious. So the point is in that situation, you were unconscious in the past, and so there was a bad reaction. So now, because you like to be unconscious in that situation, now you've been provided the opportunity again. So you don't want to stub your toe, be conscious.
Well, just like what birth we take.
No, but where is this going? Why is it confusing? It's just facts.
Oh, because we're saying that karma is about learning a lesson.
Yes, no, but the point is, but you can learn from it. You're in the material world, it's bad. Do you understand what's underlying here? You're trying to get out of, it's my fault. And someone else is not telling me what's wrong, so it's someone else's at fault here. So I'm not the only idiot here.
Well, like I'm thinking in the lines of when we discipline children, if they do something wrong, you can't wait a long time later to discipline them on that.
Let us say you went out to his friend's house. You know, just, you know, in the next block. So it was a pleasant evening. You walked over to their house. You were there, you know, you're planning to be there 3 hours, but, you know, it went a little later. And then when you get back home, then, you know, you notice a dent in the car fender. You know, you look in the there, you see, you know, some, you know, fast food and drink wrappers here and there. You know, you get inside and, you know, you in other words, you piece together that while you're out, without asking, the kids took the car, went on a joyride, you know, crashed into something, and, you know, and then if you follow it up, then other parents are complaining. There was a big thing, okay? Now they get grounded, okay? Now this is really bad, so they are grounded, let's say, for a month. Okay, so a month later, it's been a month since anything went wrong. So you said about it has to be immediate. So then the punishment should just be right there on the spot, and then that's it, it's finished. Or it's so bad that the punishment will continue. Yes, so therefore, you've done something bad that it continues from last life to this life, or even from previous, maybe it's going on for 100 lives. You know what I'm saying?
But we're not having a conscious memory of what the specific...
But still, justice is justice.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, should the guy get that or not?
Well, I'm feeling like we're learning our lesson because we're studying the scriptures now and we're finding...
Yes, so now you're working within Krishna consciousness. But just for the karmi, how else will you take care of it? The guy, you know, back in the 1920s, he and his friends robbed a bank, you know, and in that then, you know, police was shot, and, you know, the old lady around the corner who happened to be stepping out, and when you're in your getaway car, you ran her over, right? She survived, but, you know, still wasn't good. You know, and things go along and this and that, and then in some conversation, you know, 60, 70 years later, then somehow or another something slips, and then it gets around, and then the police put it all together, and now they figured out you're guilty for that. So, we should just leave it?
No.
No.
But you have memory in that lifetime.
Yeah, but the point is if something's so bad it goes over, yeah, then what are you supposed to do?
You want to remember
that you were, you know, the sovereign, you know, lord of a nation, and you didn't take care of your dependents like that, and so now you're, you know, some kid with no home because both your parents have been killed in the civil war in that little country down in Africa and all that, and you want to walk around knowing that you were the sovereign, you know, lord of a first world country, you know, just in the life before. You want to walk around with that. And that now would make everything work nice.
But as that little kid, what lesson are you learning?
See, you're not keeping a consistency here. You know, you're jumping back and forth between the emotional thing that I'm the victim and then justice. So the point is you're putting yourself in the shoes of the kid. But what happens if you're not in the shoes of the kid?
So now,
you know what I'm saying? So now this same kid, then his, you know, younger siblings, he doesn't take care of them. And any other younger kids or ones that are junior to him in that little refugee camp, he harasses, exploits them. Right? Just like before. So now if we tell him that you got in this position because you did this before, does that stop people? Yeah, how many people are dying of lung cancer from smoking cigarettes? So how many people are smoking? Right? It should be that, you know, it just gets out that there's some connection. Like you go to buy the box of cigarettes and it basically says on it in half the size of the letters, this will kill you. But people are buying the boxes. You know what I'm saying? So because even people will not take that as a warning, I think now the latest thing they do is a pack of cigarettes is like 4 or 5 times the price that it was before. But still they're selling. You know, better business. Hey, if I can make manufacture 1/4 of the cigarettes and still get the same profit, it's good for them, right? And that now we can use, instead of growing tobacco, you know, we can grow something else that's good business, like aloe vera or something, you know, that the, you know, this new age community will buy, you know. So, I mean, it works all the way around economically. You know what I'm saying? So, but still people are buying. You know what I'm saying? So you're leaving out the element that the living entity has the free will at any moment to make the right choice. So the thing is now he's being worked around and exploited. Now, what would be the natural thing to learn from that?
What would be the natural?
Let's say this kid is not taken care of, no shelter and all that. What would be the natural thing for him to learn? If we're looking at good qualities, positive qualities, since you're talking about, you know, good parenting here.
What goes around comes around.
Right. Okay. So that would mean he would be really nice to everybody. But will he be? Mm-hmm. Not necessarily. He'll grow up to be the biggest, nastiest, stinkiest, you know, gang leader on the block. You know what I'm saying? So the point is he had the opportunity to learn. Did he learn it? Because the point is the lesson's the same every time. If you don't remember stubbing your toe last time, but could you learn from stubbing your toe this time? Do I have to tell you and says, hey, that's the 347th time you've stubbed your toe on the, you know, cabinet. Why? Because you have this thing when you get in the kitchen, you don't pay attention. Why? Because, you know, before when your mother used to ask you to come in the kitchen and help and that, you hated it because you'd rather be out playing with your friends because you didn't have a sense of duty towards, you know, your family and towards your mother. So therefore, whenever you walk into the kitchen, you're completely unconscious because you really don't want to be there. You know what I'm saying? In other words, your state of consciousness is exactly the same as it was. You continue as the same person. Right? You have a prison. I've heard this, that in the prison, it's something like, I forget what it is, 80, 90, or even higher percentage of the prisoners there don't think they're guilty. And they tell them what they did wrong. And they still don't think it's wrong. You know, or you have the person, he's meddling in everybody's affairs, and you say, you're doing this, you're messing up lives and that, and it's kind of like, no, it's my right. This is what I do. I'm doing this to help. And he's not helping. You can tell him, it doesn't matter. The point is someone will learn when they're willing to learn. And even if you tell them all, offer all facility, it doesn't mean that they'll learn. Right? You know, it's said, if you yell and scream in the hallway, then you'll end up in the principal's office. So no one ends up in the principal's office, right? Yeah? Like that, yes.
So the point is, leading on from that then, can we learn from our mistakes then if we're not enlightened, if we have no knowledge?
The point is why are we not enlightened? Why do we have no knowledge? Is that also God's fault? Or it's because we didn't want to know? That's why. The point is if we've taken birth, it means you've once taken birth, let's just work back from here. If you've taken birth in the animal species, what does that mean?
You acted like one.
Huh? You acted as a human being, you acted like one, so you became one. Okay? Now, if we go by 11th canto, if someone's born in the West, what does that mean? As a human.
He's privileged in some way.
So we're talking about, okay, yeah, okay, karma. Oh, well, we're talking about, here, it means in relationship, like, you know, you act as a human, but didn't act, you act like an animal, then you ended up there. I mean, so the animal is in total ignorance, there's no, even if you give him knowledge, he doesn't care, right? But now, someone born in the West, then that means they don't have any knowledge, they're in ignorance. But if you give it to them, they could take it up. Right? But why are they born into that ignorance?
Because of their desire.
But, so what does that mean? What was their previous birth?
A human who didn't want to learn.
Yes. But where was that birth? India. India's central station. Means you come down from the heavenly planets, you come to India. You come up from that, you come to there. It's the central place. It's Punyabhumi. So that means the Westerner was someone who was in the Vedic culture, but didn't really care about God consciousness or these higher principles. But they had enough piety to maintain human life. That's all. But now, generally speaking, what's the next birth after the Western birth? Then is the animal species, right? You know. So you understand. So why are we in ignorance? Is because we didn't know. But in India, something happens. People know. They immediately know it's karma. But in the West, it's like, why is it happening to me? I'm doing this. I'm doing that. But they wanted to be ignorant. That's why they got the opportunity. You know, you act like a dog. Then next life, you can be one. Right? How good a dog can you be as a human? But you can be a real good dog as a dog. You know, dogs generally are great dogs, right? Like that. I mean, sometimes you have a really weird mental dog. But I mean, other than that, but you know, it's just generally, you know, dogs are good blokes, right? You know, you can guarantee they'll bark, they'll slobber. You know, they'll have fleas. You can guarantee they'll have all the good qualities. Yes.
Indian taking more materialism means Kali Yuga is advancing? Is it
part? No, it's just, that's there. It means, yeah, could be. But it just that's how it functions. Just like in that you perform the different sacrifices, piety, you elevate yourself to higher positions. That makes sense? So like that. Now, if you're performing pious, you know, directly Vedic pious activities, but not interested in God conscious, then you take birth on these lower heavenly planets. Right? Because the planets below here have good facility, right? Remember, you know, what is his name? He's on Sutala. They're demons. But look at the facilities, God. But it's just that above here are those who perform pious activities and are God conscious. They take part in the suras. Those who perform pious activities and are not God conscious, they take birth amongst the demons. Right? But they're pious, they have good facility. You know what I'm saying? So you see that. Much like you have some, let's say you have very, very, you know, how you say, physically, you know, well-placed, wealthy, socially good, very educated, very qualified people, right? But some of them are really nice, really considerate, very thoughtful like this, very gentle culture, and some are really not. So what does that mean? One got there, but there was more of the piety towards, you know, the higher, the one is not. So it just depends what it's for. You know, you're pious because you're supposed to be pious, or pious because you wanted material facility. In other words, sense gratification was your goal. So it's just direct. So you understand what we're talking here? Is you just go back and look at it, what it was. If you're totally attached, it means there's so many things that you're doing, but are so easily given up when you find out they're not to be done. But there's certain things that are really hard to give up. So what does that mean? The ones that are easy to give up are things that are just acquired by association in this lifetime. Your parents, your community did it. You do it. But as soon as you find out that's not to be done, hey, you know, it doesn't matter. But those things that you're really, really stuck in, those are things that are left from previous lives. You know what I'm saying? So you're dealing with something that's going on for, you know, someone's a karmi and even he's being pious, he can do that for thousands, tens of thousands, millions of lifetimes and then move up into karmi, then yogi, and then back that. You know, you just, otherwise, if it's just so quick, people get bored really fast. You know, so you have 8,400,000 species of life. You have to go through all of those. So it says that someone who becomes a devotee, he actually surrenders. Generally, they've been through all those species, you know, so it's like been there, done that, so there isn't anything more. Yes.
It just occurred to me that you kind of answered that question from before about remembrance from past life.
Because yeah.
Like you just said, there's something that, you know, you're really attached to from past life.
Yeah.
So actually you do have that kind of remembrance. May not be
you do have the remembrance, but you only have the remembrance in the environment that you're in at present. That, yeah. We went through that before, is that he doesn't remember, but then the super soul reminds him.
Yeah, like that. So Krishna is giving that remembrance to us, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. There is all about the knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. And it explained that. And it just says, so then, and then he reminds him of it. Mm-hmm.
Page 22, no?
22.
At the bottom of the footnote, forgetting
it. Well, it wasn't just that. He was explaining that he forgets, and then the next lifetime, and then the Lord reminds him. In other words, the facility is there, and then just bang. He just takes to it so well. You know, the kid is there, and he's just, you know, walking around playing like everybody else. Then his mom invites over one of the family friends, you know, and that, and he's sitting there and they're doing some music, right? Some, you know, like that. And then he just sits there and watches, and then he goes over and starts banging on the stool, like that. And then the guy who's doing the drumming, he looks at it and goes, that's perfect rhythm. Right? You know, it's like, so where is that? It's just, you know, so he's just a kid walking around the house, but then when the opportunity comes, he immediately takes it. So the Lord reminds him. So the thing is these things are going on for thousands of lifetimes, so it's not a matter of that each time it'll come up. It means every time you go out of human species, you go to hell, it's written on your forehead. So it's when the that kind of direct punishment is going on in that way, it's right there. You can see it. You did this. Therefore, they take you up to the top of the mountain because you did this. We're throwing you off. And then they throw you, and then you, you know, all the way down. And you can remember what you did, and you smash in the bottom, and then they come and pick you back up. You did this. Drag you back up to the top. Remember what you did? Yeah, yeah, okay. You know, and then they do that whole thing. You know, so that element is there when it gets down to the real, but it's supposed to be, you know, you're supposed to learn. You know, it's just like you've told the kids pick up their socks, so then they drop the socks on the floor and walk off. You wait to see if they'll immediately, if they'll come back and pick them up. You don't just immediately yell at them, because otherwise how do you know if they learn? So you give them the opportunity. And we see a knot, then, you know, in the evening, says, hey, remember that? Like that. Ooh. So that's what Guru Sadhu and Shastra is. It's reminding you of what to do. So the knowledge is there. But if you want it, it's there. You know what I'm saying?
I guess my mind is getting a little bit too detailed about the karma. Like, you know,
well, that's the next verse. But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? That's the next point. Because the point is, if you understand the principle, you don't have to get into the details, because in everything it's Krishna. So therefore you just see what's important about that particular item, it's Krishna. That's why it's important. The mechanics aren't necessary. Like you only need mechanics for occupational duties and for arts. Otherwise mechanics aren't important. Right? But knowledge is then important. You have that, and it's the principle that always works. The detail isn't so important. You know what I'm saying? The person's there in the house, right? You're in one room of the house, they're in another room of the house, right? You're happy, right? There's no detail of it because you know the affection is there. But now, when a relationship is beginning, it's like every moment has to be there, every opportunity to interact has to be happening. You know, an opportunity was missed, you know. And so, you know that there was that 10-minute coffee break at 3 o'clock and they didn't SMS or call. There's something wrong. You know, they forgot us or this and that. There's something changed. They find someone else at the office. You know, is this and that? Do I not matter? You know, it's like all this is going on in that time. All it was is that the boss came over and gave him something to do and he couldn't contact, right? Does that make sense? But as it goes down the line, they've been married now for, you know, 5 years. It's like, you know, he doesn't, you know, call home for 3 days. It's kind of like, you know, well, he must be busy.
Finally some peace and quiet.
Huh?
Finally some peace and quiet.
Yeah, that's also there. You can see that's the fringe benefits. But you understand what's... So the point is the principle is there. The detail isn't important. So the detail is only important to understand the principle. Once the principle is there, the detail is not what's important. You know, that's why when devotees go through the thing and then understand and then take that detail as, you know, something to champion, they've missed the point. You know, that's why we're going through mano. You're not going to get much more detail than that. You know, but the point is there's nothing there to champion except Brahminical culture, because Brahminical culture means it's based on the understanding of Brahman. Right, and as we saw, that transcendental life starts at Brahman understanding. So therefore, Brahminical lifestyle is the perfect lifestyle for someone situated on Brahman. Then you cultivate going from the Brahman level up to the Bhagavan. Because in any case, the situation is always going to be Brahman. Whether you're Brahman realized or you're in Maya, the situation is still Brahman. Right? So then you're cultivating Krishna consciousness from that platform rather than cultivating material attachment. So that's why Brahminical culture is important. You know, the Western culture is not designed on understanding Brahman. Right? It's simply designed in economics and sense gratification. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's like...
Just a question here. We are going through Sambandha Prayojana, right? This part of the study. Is the Prayojana within...
Well, means you're looking at all three from the aspect of Krishna and his nature. So you could say the detailed study of Krishna and his nature, that's Sambandha. But at the same time, as he is the goal of what you're trying to obtain. So, because when you study the field, you become inspired, and then when you become inspired, then the goal is established. So, this then
So within this topic which we're studying, which is all activities of the living entities are directed by the super soul.
Yes.
So the prayojan element of the punishment, let's say of the karma, is that I gain Krishna, I gain awareness.
Yes, I become aware of Krishna. That's why we're saying is the economic element of it, whether it's justice element, is just a fact. It's just the way it runs. Right? You made money, I shouldn't steal it. If I steal it, there should be some retribution here. Right? Because why do I want punishment? Right? What's the action? I mean, one is, of course, my attachment to my money. He stole my money, therefore I wanted to be punished because he made me feel bad that I lost my money. So to that degree, I felt bad, I want him to feel bad. Okay, now if it gets worse than what I felt, then I feel sorry. You know what I'm saying? You know, if I got a little bit annoyed, but he gets so annoyed, then I, no, it's okay, right? Because justice was obtained, it's equal, now it's gone beyond. So now he's so I have to be more also to reciprocate. You know, justice has to be balanced. But the point is it's only then I feel secure that therefore someone won't steal again, either because of knowledge, because they've learned, or they're afraid of the punishment. So I feel secure in my economics. So that's what justice is for, is to create security. Right? And that security is identity and all this, and then from there, then I could change that to identity of Krishna consciousness. Right? So, but the point is that it's all about Krishna. So whatever happens, if I don't know why it's happening, ultimately it goes back to Krishna. So even if I don't understand the mechanics, if I remember Krishna, the purpose of karma is already achieved. So whether I understand or not, it doesn't matter. If I do, it's obvious, great, then it'll give some mechanic. Because, in other words, an area that I have a serious attachment to, that's where I need the mechanical knowledge to work with. Because just by taking up the, okay, it's for Krishna, I'm not dropping it. So I have to mechanically break it apart. You know what I'm saying?
So I can connect each part.
Yeah, then each part, one by one, you connect, and slowly, then you break it down till finally... You know, you can just see what it is. It's not much, but the mind's still attached because I was. And then a few times of trying that, then the mind will start to, you know. But it's just how you have to deal. You know what I'm saying? So the idea is that you don't need all this because it's Krishna. Right? He's directing it. But he's only giving it according to what we've done. So if anything goes wrong, we deserve it because that's what we did. But the point was being made is that for the devotee, because he's already learned to do things for Krishna, therefore, even he would be due a bad reaction from a previous material activity, it's not actually necessary he gets that reaction, because he's already learned the lesson. One, he's learned the lesson and connected that to Krishna. So many times that's what always frustrates the astrologers. They look at the chart, oh, this is going to happen, you're going to this, that, and then the time comes and nothing happens. Because it doesn't need to. It's kind of like, oh, let me check, you know, oh, this planet was there, so like that, so now it'll happen over here. You know, like that, you know, it's like that. Until finally they have to at one point kind of give up that, you know, it works to a certain degree. It gives an indication, but it doesn't give like that. Karmis, though, it'll be textbook, but you know, the devotees, it's Krishna karma. But it looks like, because the point is the correction for an activity is the same. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So whether you're a devotee or not a devotee, the correction of it is the same. So if you learn the lesson, the devotee doesn't need, but the non-devotee, he still needs it because otherwise it's not just. Right? Because the materialist doesn't necessarily make much distinction. You know, I did that, I got punished, but I didn't learn anything. He did the same thing, but he learned from it. But I got punished, why isn't he getting punished? It's not that, well, I didn't learn, and he did, so he should not get punished. But because I didn't learn, I'm looking at it, I didn't do anything wrong, I was punished, you know? And so he did the same thing, why isn't he being punished? So you have justice from that side also. You know, consistency. Because you're dealing with material consciousness here. You're not dealing with actually finer qualities. You know what I'm saying? Because as Prabhupada points out, is that the modern society is so worried about no one being abused, but they kill and eat the animals. Right? But they'll feel better because we kill them in a nice way. And when we eat them, we put them on a nice plate with some nice this, and it looks very nice. So, you know, it was packaged nicely when I bought it. So everything looks very nice, you know. But if I had to go out there and go to the butcher and get the stuff myself as he kills the animal and stuff like that, then, you know, there's probably a great amount of Westerners would not be meat eaters if they had to do that deal like that. Yeah.
My mom killed my armadillo when I was 6. And I made such a fuss, nobody could eat it. Right? I had a pet armadillo.
Yeah, that's wild, an armadillo is a pet.
Brazil.
I also had one. But
an anteater also.
It's a big one, but then they gave away too big too.
That must have been wild, you know. I mean, a dog's tongue's only so long, and it's such a slobbery. You know, he had a tongue this long. That would be really wild. That guy'd have a cute tail, no?
Yeah. And the weirdest one was the one who holds very tightly. It's very lazy animal.
Oh, the sloth.
The sloth.
He had a pet sloth.
Yeah, my brother bought from Amazon. My father, when he went there. We couldn't hide. It was very hard to keep it at home because it was dangerous. It could hug you.
Oh, yeah, no, it's huge.
Claws.
Do any of these
animals do tricks? So wombats would be better.
Do any of these animals do tricks?
No, the sloth is just...
No.
They just...
You have your own zoo, right? Okay. Okay, so listen here.
So this is like devotees should be tolerant. They should not think that whatever is happening, there is anything injustice.
Well, what's before tolerance? Lord Chaitanya's recommendation of the...
To respect everyone and not...
That's after tolerance. Humility. So if you're humble, then it's, okay, I deserve this. I may not know why, but I deserve it. But we can't take the position because I don't know, I don't deserve it. You know what I'm saying? Because much of the punishments the kid gets, you know, later in the day, he doesn't even remember he did that. He doesn't remember that he threw a rock through, you know, the old lady's house, you know, next door. Because he didn't mean to. It's that his friend threw one at him and he threw one back and he didn't realize it would go through a front window. You know, and even that, you know, was one of those, you know, etched windows and all that, and it was, you know, one of those things that, you know, every year then she got, you know, an award for that. You know, he didn't know all that. It was just, you know, it's just a window, it's some glass. What's the big deal? You know, like that. It doesn't mean anything to him. You know, some ancient glass, you know, from her great grandmother, you know, like that. It doesn't matter. She brought it over from England, you know, like that. But it didn't matter. You know, it's just, but he forgot about it because, you know, his day is so full of, you know, exciting and dynamic things, you know, like that. You know, so it's also, you know, now he's wondering, did his mother figure out about the cat hanging in the tree, you know, all that kind of stuff, you know. So it's, you know, it's kind of like you see the kid and you go, hey. And then they stop, they freeze, and they're going through a list. You know, is this for this or that? No, but he wasn't around, but maybe here for this one. But he was there for that, but I don't think he saw it, and all that's going through their head like that. And then you go, can you go get this one? It's kind of like,
you don't have to be kid for these guys.
Yeah, but I'm saying that it's you see it all the time. Well, the kids is most obvious. The adults kind of are good at hiding it, but the kids is kind of like, you know. So we have a few like that in the schools. So, you know, always, you know, got that look like they did something wrong. Therefore, in the West, you know, the old school European tradition, you know, they get a whack for something. They said, what's that for? You know, it says, I didn't do that. You know, that's for all the ones that you didn't get caught for. Oh, yeah, okay. Okay. Okay, the living entity forgets his past deeds, but the supersoul, as the knower of the past, present, and future, remains the witness of all his activities. Therefore, all the activities of the living entities are directed by the supersoul. He creates the situation, and then he gives the remembrance by what they remember what to do in these situations, you know, from previous life. The living entity gets whatever he deserves and is carried by the material body, right? So the living entity is carried around by the material body, otherwise what would he be carried by, right? Like that. Which is created in the material energy under the direction of the supersoul. So he's done these activities, accumulate that all together, that if you added up all those modes and all things like that, then that comes out with this, you know, mathematical formula. That means this particular body, you know, that has this particular color, that is born in this particular place. You know what I'm saying? Because you have all these species, you know, that they're very similar, but, you know, one's in Borneo and one's in, you know, Alaska and another one's there. Same thing. They do the same occupation, but there are situations that, so that's all it is that, you know, or they're a little bigger, like you have kingfishers here, they're about this big. You know, kingfishers other places are like this big. You know, so it's just, you know what I'm saying? There's that slight difference. There's just a little bit difference in the formula. Few numbers are different. It means numbers is on the mode. So how many percentage of goodness, passion, and ignorance? You take that all up, then that gives you exactly each one of the 8,400,000 species of life. Right? Each one has an exact formula. Right? So it's not by chance. It's not that, you know, Yamaraj was in a particular mood that day, so everyone ended up as an armadillo, you know, like that. No, it's just that, you know, is this, you deserve like that. Does that make sense? Yes.
And it says that people who are born in India, they are more in goodness.
They tend towards that, but it could also be, you means you also have the thing of being punyabhumi, so you know more what to do, so there are those who go more against it. You know what I'm saying? Your more innocent person will, by nature, perform more pious activity because that's what others in that pious genre do. But there are those, you know, who have made a commitment that they, you know, Western is better, so they're not going to do anything Indian. So even though, let us say, there's a good chance that, let's say, an English family occasionally goes out to an Indian restaurant, you know, to eat curry. You know, especially if they're in Birmingham, right? You know, there's all those Balti restaurants there. But technically, it's Pakistani, but whatever it is, they're eating it. You know, just like they'll go to Chinese or Mexican or Italian or, you know, like that. There's a chance to go there. But the Indian person who's being Western will never, ever, ever set foot in such a place because it's not Western. So Western, there's a better chance that Westerners will do more Indian things than an Indian who's trying to be Western will do. Guaranteed. Like I remember going to one school in Australia. And we brought, you know, probe from the kids because they have this thing that they figured out that without religion, then nobody behaves properly. So they invite all the different, you know, religions. They can come and do some program. So we distribute prasad. So you bring Indian sweets, gulabs and this and that. So the Australian kids, yeah, the white Australians, they eat it, they're happy, they're cool, like that. But the Indian kids, you know, from the Indian families that live there, they don't want to eat that. They go, you know, we want chocolate. And like, we don't have chocolate, we have gulab jamun. We don't want. Like that. And then we're doing a regular program. So in that, then the school was having an Indian day. So everyone would dress up in dhotis and saris, just because it's an Indian day. Right? But that was because it was an all-white school. But if there were Indians in it, no question they'd have an Indian day. You understand? So you do have that chance as then the person who wants to degrade himself quicker, then India's the place. Like Prabhupada mentions, you want to go to hell quick, no better place than the Dham. If you offend a devotee in the West, you only get the reaction of that. You come to the Dham, you get 1,000 times, you know, so much better. I'm saying, so Prabhupada mentions, some people come to the Dham just to commit more offenses so that they can degrade themselves quicker. Does that make sense? So the idea is that it's a matter of you, what is your consciousness, therefore Supersoul arranges those situations and then through memory reminds you of what it is. Or let's say you've misused something, so he makes you forgetful in that area. Even though you have an interest. Let's say last time you had an interest in something. So this life, if the thing comes up, you're interested in it, but you can't really learn it. You're not good in it. You you like it because you misused it. So this lifetime, then you don't have the ability. You know what I'm saying? But through devotional service, you might be purified, and then that opportunity may come up. Or you may find that devotional service is more important, so that attachment to that particular medium is not so important now. Because the point is you're trying to get to the element that we're dependent upon the Lord, and we see everything in relationship to the Lord. Then everything can work very nicely. Yes.
Just on the previous point, is the species are given like a formula, you're saying?
Yeah. It means that the 12th chapter of Manu, then we'll start to see that. You get an idea of like that. One devotee, he saw in somebody's personal library a handwritten manuscript where it was explaining the actual combinations of the modes it takes to get the particular. It was saying, if you have this and this, that'll give you this kind of nose. And then if you adjust this, you know, add one portion of goodness, it'll come out, the nose will come this way, you add passion, it'll come this way, you add ignorance, it'll go this way. So it's explaining how you know, the ears, the nose, the eyes, all that will go, what mode is making it go. Like we have, you know, the round pupil, but like the cats have it the other way, long, you know, and the other animals have a different one. So what modes make it that way? Is it just the combination of the modes? I mean, it's the science. It's not just arbitrary. So this idea that it's a science and there's an elevation, yeah, that's true. But their idea that it's the body creates it by chance. How do you have a science on chance? Because even now, chaos, which was chance, is called fractals. So now they can map. You know, if water pours off the edge of something into another, what it does down there. You know, they've been discussing that for I don't know how long. But that they just, in the last couple of years, they figured out the formulas. You know, they probably had a million big computers working for... So, you know, and then they worked it out. So it's science. But, you know, so where is the chance? And then they'll just think, you know, the guy was in the water and he's a small fish. He's always being chased by everyone else, so I should go out on the land. But to do that, I need, you know, feet and I need lungs. So he just sits there and kind of like grows him a little bit and then comes out, you know. And it's like the most stupid thing you could ever think of. But they'll claim that they're very intelligent, you know, what do you call those? Biotechnology. Yeah, you know, these kind of, you know, it's like as stupid as you can get. Someone who's blind and was born blind, what would he know about colors? Yeah, I need to grow some eyes so I can see all the colors. He doesn't even know they exist. So why would the plankton grow eyes, you know?
It's just attractive if you want to take God out of the equation.
Yeah, just going to take God out of the equation. So the point is that it's a science. So it's exact. You've done this. You do an activity, it's controlled by the modes. So that means it has a reaction in that. And then that naturally connects to a species of life. You know, in other words, the activity that's in those particular combination of modes is the activity of that species of life, right? Because if you have a certain kind of sense, you can do that activity. You know, just like what he was saying, the sloth, he has big curved nails, you know, and kind of long arms and like that, so he can hang upside down. The platypus couldn't do that, right? But the sloth probably doesn't swim. You know, like that. But the platypus can. So it's just, that sense means you can do that activity. So that means you do that activity, you get that reaction. So that means you get that reaction because this activity got it. This activity can only be performed by those senses. That means those senses are there because the person has performed the activity before. He has that mentality. You know, so it's all connected.
And that's kind of... propensity of mentality is kind of used up, is it, in the animal species, and that's how they kind of grow.
Yeah. It means as we see, it'll say, you know, you spend, you know, 10 lives as a jackal, and then 5 lives as, you know, an iguana, and then 2 lives as, you know, a slimy frog, and then like that, then you come back to the human species. Because a particular activity has these particular combinations, but to really get into it fully, you can't do it necessarily as one species. Right, so it takes a few species to, you know, get the full range of that activity in all its complete depth. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? You've done some activity, so you know the flying is an element. So a bird can fly, but they don't walk around very good. You know, they're not very good on the ground, but let's say, you know, a cheetah, he's good on the ground. You know what I'm saying? So the guy, he drives fast cars, he likes to go in planes, he likes to skydive, he does all these different things. So then he becomes these particular species. You know, his thing is speed and excitement. So therefore, you know, instead of just, you know, flying down there and bending over and picking up some grains and seeds and then being satisfied, you have to go up to, you know, 1,000 feet and then dive down like this, you know, straight down going, you know, a million miles an hour and then catch a rat. You know, so, you know, it's all part of how it works.
So,
you know what
so
I'm saying?
Is that just fulfilling the desires? Is that
that's all it's doing.
When they're fulfilled, then you kind of, like...
You've done that, but no, but then you put back in the human species where now again you get into your fast cars and skydive and do all that again. And so then again you become, that different thing like that. You know, so it's just and then after, you know, so many thousands of those and maybe you get tired of skydiving, you know. You know, so then you become, you know, a pigeon instead.
So in a sense, like the animal species, they're like a. I'm sort of trying to get at the purification of it. How it happens that you get elevated again? Is it in a sense it's?
It's austere. Have you seen a dog take a bath? They're scratching. Now, if the dog took a bath every day, would he have so much skin disease?
No.
Good chance not, right? Yeah. So it's austere being
so
an animal.
It's really the suffering that purifies you as an animal.
Yeah, yeah, it's just austere. They're performing their duty exactly. It means that, does an animal ever do something he's not supposed to? Mm-hmm. Like if I put a stalk of bananas there and I put a monkey there, what'll happen? Yeah, now if I put a stack of bananas there and I put a dog there, what'll happen? But you wouldn't want to eat the bananas. They're the dog's bananas, but he's not going to eat them. Right? You understand? You know exactly what they're going to do. Right? Because they're following exactly God's laws. So they're performing their prescribed duties, and it's very austere. You know, it's like, you know, we're sitting there, the cute little bird, he comes down to drink water, you know, he goes and then he looks this way, and then this, and this, and this, and this. You know, could you imagine that? You know, you sit down in the courtyard, you know, you got your pizza, and then you have to sit by. You know, could you imagine? Why? Because at any moment, someone's going to steal it, you know? You know, and then when you look this way, then it's... You know, and then you look that way, and then the other guy steals the other one. You know, so it's just, you know, or let's say you do like this. You go into the shop, right? There's a cage, and it's got the pizza in it, right? Guy puts on his glove, you know, reaches in and, you know, like this, and then puts it on the thing, wraps it up, gives it to you, you know? And then as you open it, it jumps out, right? And then you have to run all over the courtyard trying to catch it, you know? It goes up this, underneath, and around, like this and that, and, you know, good exercise. But... You look at it, you know, the bird's chasing the moth. What's happening? That's lunch, and it's running away. That's austere. That's tough. You know? Can you imagine you're sitting there, and you're sitting here, and then over there, you know, next to the bicycles, you spot, you know, a pot of halva, you know? Then you come along, look at this pillar and that pillar, and come along like this and that, and then you kind of go down into the ditch, you know, like this, and you go down a little bit now, and you come up, now you're only about 30 feet away. And then you jump out, and then the pot of halva notices and starts running off down the road, or it runs up the tree, you know? Yeah, or it flies away. It's kind of like, you know... But that's what they're going through. That's austere. Right? So, you know, you've got to hand it to them. It's austere and they're performing their duties. They're perfectly following God's laws. So they're purified. Humans are degraded because they don't follow God's laws. They follow God's laws, they're also purified. Right? So that's the point. The human being has a choice. The animals don't. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, The man, you know, who's not in jail has the freedom to follow the laws or not. But if he doesn't, then he's put in the situation where he has to follow the laws. You know, at 7 o'clock in the morning, you know, the siren goes, the doors open, and he has to come out and get in the line. He doesn't get in the line. The guy comes along and has a club and hits him. like that. He gets too angry, they pull out the thing, you know, you poke the cows with, you know, the electric fence. Like that. Next thing you know is they got you on the ground and handcuffed, and they throw you back in the cell. You know, you have to follow the laws. You know, it's time to eat, you eat. You don't want to eat then, you starve. Hey, they don't care. You know, this time you go to work. This time you go back. This time you can go play basketball as long as you don't kill each other. And if you do, they'll shoot you with rubber bullets. You know what I'm saying? So it's exact. So it's just, it has a thing. So that's what is going on. You're restricted. You know, so the human being he can do so many varieties of activity. But animal is restricted to one thing. You can say, you look in the book, okay, what's their diet? You know, it'll be, say, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That's all they'll have in the book. It'll be exact, and that's what they got.
Is there some, like within the species, there's like some, say some jaguar, they can't run as fast as the other, some's got bigger fangs?
Yeah, that's all. He's more pious, so he's bigger. So he gets more facility, right? You know, that's all. Yeah. Or, you know, he's a dog, but he's a dog on the heavenly planets. You know, so it's nicer up there. You know, it's like we say, Gajendra. He was an elephant on the heavenly planets. So, you know, he had, you know, great point. But there were still crocodiles. You know, but you don't hear the crocodiles attacking the demigods. Because it's the heavenly planets. That doesn't happen. That happens here. You know, it's called Australia, right? You know, so it doesn't happen there. But he's an elephant, and so crocodiles eat elephants. So as soon as he goes in the water, hey, you know. You know, so for the, you know, the elephant, it's such a nice arrangement and beautiful water. For the crocodile, he is a big elephant, you know, so that's his heaven, right? You know, big elephants, not little ones, big, right? Does that make sense? So it's like, it's all exact. But the point is all the detail is interesting to note, or it satisfies certain intellectual things, or maybe even down to some emotional aspects. But the point is that it's God's arrangement. And if he can make such amazing arrangements on something, he says just a spark of his splendor. So imagine what are the arrangements in the spiritual world. Right? So here it's God has affection for us, but we don't reciprocate. So he can only give to us according to what we do, right? So that's what Supersoul is doing. That's why, even though Supersoul is a person, you know what I'm saying? He has his life and all that. So he is Bhagavan, but he relates to us as Supersoul because we don't relate to him as Bhagavan. Does that make sense? Like that. So, you know, so, yeah, does that make sense? You know, it's just like you have
like judging the court or something.
Yeah, like it means Kiradaksha Vishnu, he's sitting in the heart, but he's sitting there with all his court and all his associates, and Dhruva Maharaj, you know, manages the planet, and there's citizenry, and there's a whole thing going on there. So he's Bhagavan, but we don't relate with him as Bhagavan, therefore he relates to us as Supersoul. Right? And when we don't relate even to that control aspect, just the all-pervasiveness, he relates to us as Brahma. So it's just how he reciprocates. So for those who, and so, but it's out of affection, he creates a facility. But the facility is meant to come back to God consciousness. So you can imagine those who are situated in love for Krishna, then how wonderful is the arrangements. But the point is, the experience of that love exchanged between the Lord and the devotees is so great that in Vrindavan they don't even care about the arrangements. It's not means that they're not conscious of it, but that's not what's important. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah, that's the point. It's how much. Let us say is you have. Let's say you have a big celebrity, right? Some big actor, right? And as a publicity stunt, they do something and there's a lottery and that they can go out to dinner with him, like that. So then this, you know, young girl wins that lottery. She gets to go to dinner with this guy, this big celebrity. You know, but the celebrity is also going with his wife, right? And they go to, naturally, you know, one is where he'd probably go, but, you know, he also has that little bistro around the corner and this and that, but they won't. They'll go to a big fancy, fancy place, because otherwise what's the meaning? You know, it's like, you know, you can go to McDonald's with Brad Pitt. You know, it's just that, you know, no one's going to take it so seriously. So they go to some really fancy place, okay? Now, it's a new place, right? Because it's arranged by the sponsors and managers, right? You know, it's like that. So they go into the place, right? So what's the wife going to be checking out? What is she thinking about in this whole thing? She's with the celebrity.
The place.
She's worried about the place, how nice it is, what's the menu, this, that. What's the 15-year-old girl thinking? She's just thinking, I went to dinner with this guy. Yeah. It doesn't matter what the place is. She'll also imagine, that was a great place and this and all. But, yeah. But when she tells her friends, they don't care about that. It's just that adds to it. It's about the person. So that's how Vrindavan is. It's just the most wonderful place, but the devotees are more absorbed in Krishna, even though the place is more wonderful than Vaikuntha. Right? But in Vaikuntha, then there's also, you know, I went here, went to this big place, wow, it was really fancy, you know, but God, you know, like this. So it has that mix of God's great and then the opulence and all that. But in Vrindavan, it's way unlimitedly more opulent, but nobody is, that's not what's prominent in their mind, it's Krishna. You understand? So that's why we have to get to this point of what's the need for that? Right? Does that make sense? You know, that's the point here. 10:42, but what need is there, O Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support the entire universe. That's all that's important. You know it's all Krishna. But the detail, exactly how he pervades and this and that, that's not so important, because that's just his occupation. You know what I'm saying? The guy's your friend. You don't, it does, it's not that it's important for your friendship. You know, you went to school together, right? And then, you know, you went to this college, you went to that college, and then you're walking down and then you move to another city, and then you're walking down the street one day, you know, to go to this little place to get a sandwich on the corner, and then you find, you know, hey, there's your best friend. You know, you haven't seen him for years, and all, hey, what are you doing? Hey, I just work around here. That's cool, I just work around here, you know, like that. So, you know, he's in law and you're in medicine, but you don't care that you have to know the details of, you know, how he puts his folder together, and which paper first, and whether it's printed on one side or two sides, or what font or what size it is, or what is the weight of the paper, you know, and was it, you know, is it organic paper and that, you know, like from the, you know, actually most paper, you know, it's actually organic, right? You know, you cut down the Amazon forest, it's organic, you know, like that. So actually, you know, they look at the good side, organic paper, you know, that's another scam they could get away with, right? None of this, you know, commercial industrialized paper. This is organic paper. It's amazing. Spin doctoring is great, isn't it? You can do anything. So then, but he doesn't care about the detail. And if he did, you'd think that's weird. Because the point is, it's just, you know, the relationship. You know, you hang out, you talk, you do this and that. Because, you know, in high school, it wasn't about, you know, that here's a doctor and here's a lawyer. You know, just they were calm because they were both in math. They were good in math and science, you know, so they were in the same classes. They hung out together, but, you know, because one ended up in law school, one ended up in medical school. Right? Does that make sense? So the detail's not what's important. So the detail's only important where there's a problem. You know? Then you need detail, because we're absorbed in that. Our consciousness is absorbed in that, so we need to be able to break it down. So that as much detail as we're absorbed is all we need. So if we're only a little absorbed, then a little bit of detail. We're a lot absorbed, a lot of detail. You know what I'm saying? You know, so someone is overly worried about artha, there's artha shastra. Someone's overly worried about kama, there's kama shastra. Right? But someone who's not so worried doesn't have to get that involved. You know, the Brahmin doesn't necessarily need to know Arthashastra because he's not worried about it. He does his duties and whatever Krishna provides, Hari Bhava. You understand? But for others, then, it's very important. Some of the cow dung, I don't know, maybe they fed the cows, I think sesame seed, you know, the stalks. So there's a few of them that it smells like Chinese food. Like, you know, soy sauce and that. So there's probably some grains and like this and that, you know. This particular batch of cow dung patties. You know, so now we've got this connection. Now we'll work on the Italian ones, and we'll work on the Mexican
basil.
Ones. You know, huh?
Basil.
Yeah. You know, like that. See what we get.
Start marketing flavored cow dung.
Hmm?
Start marketing flavored
cow. Yeah, you know, like that. Yeah, that would be interesting. You can burn it and get all the different scents. You know. Ooh, lasagna. I like the pesto ones myself. Okay. Living entity gets what he deserves and is carried by the material body, which is created in the material energy under the direction of the supersoul. The living entity is not independent. That's the point. He's not independent, so he's controlled by the Lord. So since he's controlled by the Lord, that's his nature, is to serve the Lord. But we're not independent, but we're trying to be independent, so that's a problem. Right? One should not think himself independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The individual is always under the Lord's control. Right? Does that make sense? Yes.
Independently thoughtful refers to how to apply your thinking to be dependent.
Yeah, how to be dependent. Yeah, independent means you yourself are able to understand, you know, who you are, what you should do, you know, and how to please Krishna. So that's the point. That is the use of the independence, is how you can create more and more variety of ways to please Krishna. You know, that's the, just like he uses his, you know, independence and all that to, you know, it means it's not that he had to make the material world. It wasn't that he was sitting there and his mom saying, "Now get out there and make the material." "Oh man, we did that yesterday." "No, come on, quit being so lazy," you know, and therefore, okay. "I'm going to make it purple this time." You know, so you know, it's not like that. He independently does this, right? So that's the whole point, is that he uses his independence to interact with the devotees. So if the devotees use their independence to interact with him, it works very nicely. Right? Then it's a very good quality.
The individual is always under the Lord's control.
Yes.
Means if you see in society, so many problems is there, like terrorism, economic problem,
yeah.
British rule the India, there is freedom fighters were there.
But who is the problem?
No,
the freedom fighters or the British?
The question is like...
it always changes, you know. So, you know what I'm saying? In India, it's like, you know, the British were the problem, and then the Indians were fighting for their rights and all that. But then when you go to the next country where there's Muslim, then the Muslims are the terrorists, and then, you know, not the freedom fighters. You know, so it's interesting how you say it.
So for devotee, because he is controlled under the Krishna's eternal potency, so for him this outer problem is not created like...
Outer problem means?
This terrorism...
The point is if you're doing something for God and everybody, it's like this. What's the point? The point is that does God need us to send everybody to hell? No. So therefore, we're here to take part in doing activities that please the Lord and try to encourage others to also take part. Right? So unless it's your job, and that's generally administration, that if someone does something wrong that's against God's law, then there's some correction. Right? So just some individual decides that he appoints himself as authority, then what's the meaning? You know, and then one can say, well, they just appointed themselves. You know, you had a bunch of people they came across on a boat, and then they decided, okay, let's make a government here, and then now, okay, you be the president and this and that. You know, but the point is if you follow the duties applied to someone in that position, then you're authorized by God. You know what I'm saying? So the point is, since when does innocent people who don't know about, haven't been given the chance to know about, and then they're punished, how is that right? How is that God's work? You know what I'm saying? So the point is someone who is committed to God, if you're doing God's work, that means you're trying to save the the souls, right? It means even you're working on this West, it's the devil whose job is to send them to hell. God is trying to save them. So if you're trying to save them, right, then you're doing God's work. But if you're killing them so that they can go to hell, that the devil will do anyway. It means if you don't kill them, God, they'll die anyway. Right? You know, are there no trucks? You know, are there no, it means of all these things, have peanuts, are peanuts not existing anymore so people can't get them lodged in their throats? Or, you know what I'm saying? Is there no bad wiring for people to electrocute themselves? Are there no, water on the floor to people to slip on and, you know what I'm saying? There's plenty going on, so you don't have to arrange more. You know what I'm saying? So it's a matter of you follow God's laws, then it works. Does that make sense? You know, it's because of our neophyteness, right? Then we don't know enough philosophy. So it's said if you have, you accept the cultural aspect, but not the religion of it, but not the philosophy, it'll be sentiment. And if it's too much, you get fanatic. So what you're talking now is fanatic. So it doesn't matter which side it is, it's fanatic. Right? You know what I'm saying? You have you're taking the Indian, you have the freedom fighters are doing all kinds of things and all that. So you could say that's fanatic, right? Same time as you had that, what was it? Jallianwala Bagh. So there was someone had done, there was a curfew was broken. So one of the local, administrators, he thought, okay, we'll teach him a lesson. So there was a program going on at this Jallianwala Bagh, right? So it was, the interesting thing about it was it was an enclosed with a very high wall, and there was one entrance and exit, right? And it was just an open place, and in the middle, I think there was a well. That was all that was there. So the person went in with all the soldiers and their guns and just started shooting everybody. You know, because they know they're not supposed to be out there having a meeting more than, however many it is, three or four people, whatever is the rule. And so then they shot them all to teach them a lesson, right? You know, once you're dead, then you'll figure it out. I shouldn't do this. I won't come to the meeting next time. You know, especially like the three-year-old babies. So they'll figure it out. So now that's fanatic. Right? Because the person was censured by his authorities. You know, even though it may be, they'd be considering it, that there's a problem here. But it's fanatic. So both ways it becomes fanatic. Because why? There's this sentiment, but they don't have the philosophy. Right? Does that make sense? Because the point is it's hard to rule dead people. Right? Maybe if you're in Jamaica, yes. But if you're here, then it's a problem. You know what I'm saying?
What I was thinking, when the fight was going on, freedom fight.
No.
He was judge over here, and he's a devotee. So he's not bothered by whether British is running or.
Prabhupada means Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur doesn't worry about it. As long as they allow, it means the one advantage of the democratic social system is that it allows freedom of religion. Right? I mean, in theory, like that. It means Russia and Hungary just had a problem with that. Like that. But what I'm saying? So, but that's the advantage of it. So as long as you can practice God consciousness, what does it matter who's running the place? The point is if the place is run, that it's safe, what does it matter? We technically don't care. As long as, if the government is God conscious, where they allow God, encourage God consciousness, whether it's a monarchy, an oligarchy, or a committee, or we don't really care. The point is that it should get something done. You know, just like if you're hungry, really hungry, it doesn't really matter what you eat as long as it's proper food. You know what I'm saying? It all works. So there may be an ideal, but it really doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So that's there. Yes.
It's actually worth calling that Bhaktivinoda Thakur Vani Bhagavat book. The Bhagavad-gita says, make Srimati Queen Victoria, Empress of India, rule over India forever, so that we can peacefully go about our Vaishnava business and they'll take care of all that.
Yeah, so it works fine as long as they're giving the scope that you can be God conscious. Mm-hmm. The problem comes is that means basically there wouldn't have been much of a problem if they had just left the culture alone. If they had let the Indians be Indians and just had been administrators and taken their tax. But they tried to educate the people, and then they went knowingly against the culture. Whereas that sepoy revolution, yeah, mutiny like that was because the gunpowder was kept in something, and they had to make it waterproof. But they made it waterproof by using, you know, pig and cow fat, right? And so everybody in the army is either Muslims, so they're not into pigs, or Hindus are not into cows. So it upset them both culturally. So if they had respected the culture, right, and left them alone, so as long as they get their tax, what does it matter? It is a business event. East India Company was a business. It wasn't a bunch of, you know, Anglican preachers. I don't think there was one. You never even hear about them, right? You know, like that. It was business. That's all. So business. It just leave them alone. They're so opulent by performing their own culture. More, I mean, they're more opulent when they followed Indian culture than they are now that they follow Western culture. You know what I'm saying? So that's all. It's just leave them alone. It's good business. You know, then it doesn't matter. So at that time, they were. But then they made a thing, no, now we have to. And so that's when the Swaraj movement came up. It was in the mid-1800s, when they started doing all these things. But before that, you know, who cared? You know? Does that make sense? I mean, the Indians were in the British army voluntarily. Like that, they didn't mind. You know what I'm saying? They weren't conscripted. They wanted to be there. So that's not a problem. Lord Chaitanya never had a problem that the Muslims were managing Navadvipa. It's only when they stop Sankirtan, then it's a problem. But if they don't stop Sankirtan, hey, what does it matter? Because all they're doing is doing it. So like Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, they take it because administration is a big problem. It's a lot of headache. So if somebody's willing to do it, great. So we can go on and we don't have to worry about it. We can all just chant. You know what I'm saying? So like you had Priyavrata, right? Now he is someone who can manage the universe. He's that good of an administrator. But if he had his choice, he was just sitting down and chanting and you know, just doing his sadhana. So it took Lord Brahma to come to convince him that, no, he should take up his duty as a kshatriya. Does that make sense? So we're fine. If they do it, then you don't have to find someone else to do it. You know, so if someone's there, why replace them? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, like China, they're atheists, they're communists. But in Hong Kong, they let us, you know, Hare Krishnas are there, they're registered. Like that. So, you know, it doesn't matter that they're running the government. But if they stop that, then it's a problem. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't really matter what the government is. Is that something?
That's what even Dalai Lama was saying. And Dalai Lama is saying the same thing, that you don't stop us, then it's fine. You can rule the country.
Yes, so, but you know, but it just becomes false ego or a demoniac nature. These other things that just have to bother because they don't have to. And then the government protects the people. Then it does. The people don't really care who the government is. Mm. Like that. One should not think himself independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The individual is always under the Lord's control. Footnote 15. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 8.3.17, only Krishna can deliver us from this material existence. Indeed, he is always trying to deliver us. Right? Only he can do it, and he's always trying. Right? Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridesher junatishtati. Bhagavad Gita 18.61. He is within our hearts and is not at all inattentive. His only aim is to deliver us from material life. It is not that he becomes attentive to us only when we offer prayers to him. Even before we offer our prayers, he incessantly tries to deliver us. So he's always trying. So it's kind of like, I'm doing all this, he's not reciprocating. No, he's doing all that and we're not reciprocating. You know, so okay, we're doing a little bit more good. But, you know, it's still, we could do.
Usually the thing that we want it all right now.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. Now? Yesterday.
Yeah, come on.
Even before we offer our prayers, he incessantly tries to deliver us. He is never lazy in regard to our deliverance. Therefore, this verse says, Bhuri Karunaya Namo Layaya. It is the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord that he always tries to bring us back home, back to Godhead. God is liberated, and he tries to make us liberated. But although he is constantly trying, we refuse to accept his instructions. Sarvadharmam parityaja mamekam sharanam braja, 1866. Nonetheless, he has not become angry. Right? Like that. Not about his trying and we're not responding. You see that he doesn't appreciate when we bother other living entities, because he's trying to save them also. So, you know, you bother them, then it's a problem. But it's not. But the reaction is based on what you do. How you bother them is how you'll be bothered. Therefore, he is described here as Bhuri Karunaya, unlimitedly merciful in delivering us from this miserable material condition of life and taking us back home, back to Godhead. So he's always trying. So that's the principle. So that's the point that's important, right? We're doing all these things, but how we're entangled in us, in karma, in us trying to do everything is not as important as why are we involved in karma? Why aren't we surrendering to the Lord? Because if you surrender to the Lord, there is no karma. So therefore, you don't have to worry about it. Right? So then's the next point, 1042. But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. So still, it's just a very small amount that he's put in to try and everything like this. Right? Everything exists by the mercy of the Supersoul. The Supreme Lord is represented throughout the entire material universes by his entering into all things as the Supersoul. The Lord here tells Arjuna that there is no point in understanding how things exist and their separate opulence and grandeur, right? The technical points. The separately, technically how it works. While the form and the activity are technically manifest. He should know that all things are existing due to Krishna's entering them as Supersoul. From Brahma, the most gigantic entity, on down to the smallest ant, all are existing because the Lord has entered each and all and is sustaining them. He's entered. Therefore, when they desire, he then, you know, according to their what they deserve, arranging for the modes of nature to take care of it. Right? Give the body, give the situations, give the activities, give the results. So Maya is arranging all that under the direction of the Lord. So that's why, you know, all things are existing. From Brahma to the smallest ant, all are existing because the Lord has entered each and all and is sustaining them. So it's not that they're doing themselves. So if that's understood, then the detailed knowledge of all those things, because in other words, the Brahman thing is so amazing and all that. But what is the need of all that detail when you understand it's the Lord has entered? Because you're amazed by what's there, but that's just the situation. But you're going to do something with the situation. So therefore, it's super soul. So understand he's the one who's controlling and do things connected to him. If you do it connected to him, then he is a person. Therefore, this Bhagavan, right? So that's the next point, right? So in other words, you move from attraction to the Brahman to the Paramat, understanding Paramat, from that to Bhagavan. So that then we'll deal after. So that leads to lesson 12.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Samavita Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Chaitanya Gaura ki.